today. And, you know, I'm just thankful for the amazing people that make this church. Yeah. It's not the building. It's not the pretty paint. It's not the pretty Christmas tree. It's really none of those things. It's y'all. It really is. And, you know, it's amazing to be surrounded by people that just are people and just really love God. If you've come in here aggravated this morning, I'm going to ask you to just give God half of a chance to let that come up off of you. If you've come in here worried and discouraged, I'm going to ask you to open up that heart and to let God take those things from you. I'm so thankful for the deacons that we have of this church. A church is as good as the deacons that we have, and we have the best deacons in the entire world. Brother Charles, I love you so, so much. I don't say it enough, but you and I have been doing this since the 80s. I mean, I just thank the world of you, and I love you. I thank you for coming to your church to serve. Brenda called me this morning, and she said, Pastor, his heart rate is through the roof. I'm going to have to take him here, and I'm going to have to take him there. And, you know, a lot of people would be like, well, I'm not going to come to church. But you know what? That's not the kind of deacons that we have. It's just not. And so I'm just thankful. I know that Kayla and Mikey, they live in Kansas City, and every time that they can be here, they're here. Every time. Kayla has followed me through some difficult waters, to say the least. And Kayla, I'm thankful for you. Mikey, you bring our girl back. We love you. We love those babies. But I just want to brag on y'all for just a minute because you guys are amazing. If nobody's told you today, I want to tell you that your pastors love you. I want to tell you that you make a difference, that God loves you. Whatever you've come up in here with, whatever you're troubled about, whatever miracle that you need, I want to tell you that God still works miracles. If you need a healing today, I want to tell you that God still heals. Amen. If you're in financial trouble this morning, I want you to know that God still is the God of more than enough. God is still the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm going to ask you to do what we do every single week, which is stand to your feet. We do this every week because I never want you to forget that by the grace of God, literally only His grace, is what's made you be able to stand. Nothing more, nothing less. You don't need nothing more. You don't need nothing less. It's God's grace that makes you be able to get up and to stand every single day. God has not left you. He hasn't brought you this far to leave you. So I'm going to ask you to begin to give God one of the very few things that we can give Him, which is our praise and our worship. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that You'd go down each and every single aisle, God. Lord, for every heart that's troubled, Lord, I ask You right now to give them peace, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, for every person, God, and they walked in this building and they said, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, right now I ask You for resolve in Jesus' name. Every difficult situation, God, every heartbreak, Lord, I know that You still are the mender of broken hearts. God, I ask that You would do a mending today. Lord, for every person, God, they've battled fear and worry and stress and anxiety and depression. Lord, You said You needed a binder and You said You needed a looser. So, God, right now, I bind up those things and I tell them to go. Lord, I loose Your peace, God, that passes all understanding. Lord, I give You this service right now to have Your way. And we praise You and we thank You, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it has been a week, and we'll leave it at that. It's been a good week, but it's been a week. My niece Bella is on her way right now. She is continuing to have reactions. She cannot eat. She cannot drink. And so right now, I'm just going to ask you if you'd bow your heads. We're going to pray. If you know someone that's sick, if you know someone that's struggling in any type of way, it doesn't have to be physically, it could be any type of way. Let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You, Lord, that at Your word, God, people are healed. Lord, just at the very mention of Your name, God, situations change and they turn around for Your glory. So, God, right now, whatever needs that Your children have in here today, God, I ask You right now, Lord, to meet every need, God, not according to what we have, but God, according to what You have. Lord, I speak the healing power on Bella right now. Lord, You know exactly where she is. I speak to that body. I tell the body to line up with the Word of God that says that she's healed. God, I thank you right now. I just once again, God, I ask you for peace. Lord, I feel there's people troubled in here today. God, I ask for your absolute perfect peace, God, in Jesus' name, amen. So, in case you haven't noticed this about me, I don't like to preach about things that every other person preaches about. That's boring, it's redundant, and it gets old. What I like to minister about is things that actually go on. If a pastor's too afraid to preach about something, guess what? People in the pew, they're going to be suffering because somebody won't just come out with it and say it. And so this morning, I want to minister about something that we all go through, and that's when you wake up in the morning one day and you look at your life, and that life that you're looking at is not what you thought it was going to be. Amen? We've all been there. There are times where you go through seasons in your life where you get a little bit back and you're looking at that life and you wake up and you say, God, this is not what I thought that it was going to be. God, I didn't think that it was going to be this hard. Lord, I did not think that it was going to be this heartbreaking. God, I didn't think that it was going to be like this. And you get to looking at your life and you get discouraged because you're sitting there and you're telling God, Lord, this is not what I thought that it was going to be. We've all been there, and that's why I'm going to minister on it today. I minister out of the overflow of my life, and that's how I stay relevant, because guess what? If I go through it, the odds are many people are. Amen? So the title of this message is When Life Isn't Going as Planned. And I want to tell you that you can make all the plans in the world. How many planners do we have? I know people that are such planners that they plan planning. Y'all didn't get that. Are y'all sleeping this morning? I know people that they plan their planning. That's how much they love to plan. And what I've learned is that it's easier, Brother Gary, to say, God, what is your plan? God, what is your plan? Because God, whatever I've got planned, it's probably a hot mess. Yes. Amen. It's probably a hot mess. Yes. Let's go this morning to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 4 through 9. And we're talking about how does the believer react when life isn't going as you planned. There are things that come up that you are not going to plan for. There are heartaches, life-changing situations that will happen that you did not plan for. That is called life. And the Word of God says in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. That's for the believer and that's for the sinner. In this life, you're going to struggle. In this life, you're going to have things that are going to bug you. In this life, you're going to have things that break your heart. In this life, you're going to have victory. You're going to have trials. You're going to have all these things. It's this life down here. We're not focusing only on this life. We realize there's heaven. There's eternity. But the believer has to know, what on earth do I do when I wake up and I'm looking at my life and it wasn't what I planned? You got to know it. Why? Because that happens. Because it happens. So many times in life, things take a turn that we didn't expect. We're unsure of how we got where we're at. Sometimes we're unsure of how in the world things went wrong. When did they go wrong? Where did they go wrong? God, where did I miss it? Lord, did I do something to cause this? There's times where you wake up in your life and you're going, I didn't plan this. This is something that I didn't plan. There are battles that you go through. You didn't cause them. I'm going to say it again. There are things that you go through, battles that you go through, they're of no fault of your own. There are heartbreaking things we go through we did not create. Look here, a battle is a battle. Regardless how it came knocking at your door, a battle is a battle. And the last time I checked, the battle still belongs to the Lord. Amen. It just does. So we got to know, what type of boots to put on when we wake up and we say, God, this isn't the life that I thought. This isn't what I planned. We got to know what to do. And so one of the things that I want to say is many times when we get to these places in our lives where things come up we didn't plan for, there's what I like to call a good old-fashioned knee-jerk reaction. Anybody have those? All right. I'm going to level the playing field out right here because look here, almost every human has those. And I said almost everyone. Look here, if you ain't having them sometimes, you probably ain't living and breathing in this life. Like what I call a good old knee-jerk reaction. Somebody irritates you, most of the time, your first reaction isn't great, right? Your first reaction, your human nature, okay? So when you wake up and you're looking at that life and you're saying, now this isn't what I planned for, I'm going to speak out of my own life. That's the only life that I can speak out of. I can't speak out of y'all's because I'm not all up in your business, nor do I want to be. Some people call me and they're like, Pastor Kelly, did you hear about so-and-so? No, I haven't heard about them. And let me tell you something before you start blabbing your big mouth. I don't want to hear about them. All right? Because look here, I got to sleep at night. All right? And I already struggle with that. So I don't need you messing that up for me. I ain't heard it, and I don't want to hear it. And that's the gospel truth. Because you know what? I got my own problems, and I don't need to be hearing a bunch of garbage. I used to, back when I first started pastoring, I'd be like, yeah, I want to hear it. I stopped that real quick. Why? Because I don't need to hear that. Don't want it. Don't need it. It ain't helping the situation. My dad pastored for 33 years, and he used to say, I am not a Catholic priest. Look here. I love Catholics. I love Pentecostal. I love everybody. You get my drift? I don't have to know everything about you to be your pastor. And guess what? Unless you absolutely feel like I need to know everything, I'm good with it. You feel me? I'm good with it. So the only life I can preach out of is mine. So I'll preach out of it. And if it's shocking to you, well, be shocked. I don't know what to tell you. It's just is going to be what it's going to be. But there's times when I've woken up in my life, and Crystal, I've said, God, this is not what I thought this was going to be. This is not what I planned. And it's gut-wrenching. It hurts every day. And that knee-jerk reaction that I'm talking about is that anger that wants to come up inside of you when you start looking at that life that happens that you didn't plan on, those things. And then the knee-jerk reaction is the emotion that you want to have about it. Now, I want to talk to you about your emotions this morning. Emotions are like a wild animal. You're going to get a hold of one of them things, and they're going to drag you. They're going to flop you every which way but loose. You got to guard your heart. Because out of it flows everything about you. Everything about you. Guard your heart. Guard that heart. Guard it. When you wake up in the morning, say, God, help me to guard my heart. When you go to bed at night, God, help me to keep this heart guarded. Lord, the only thing I want to be open to, God, is everything that you have. Everything that you have for me. And so we have these knee-jerk reactions. And 3 years of pastoring has taught me one really, you talk about the golden rule. Guess what I've learned, Ernie? 3 years of pastoring. You know what I've learned? Every person on the planet, I don't care who they are and how great they are, every last person has an inner two-year-old living up inside of them. Who's ever had a two-year-old? What do? My dad was like, Kelly, don't ever say about my grandchildren that they're going through the terrible twos. It's the teachable twos. And I got through them twos. And you know what I said, Kurt? Daddy didn't raise these little brats because it was the terrible twos. They were terrible. Let's keep it real. Them little devils, they were awful. And Jeremy's got gray hair. Half of mine fell out and the other part of it's bleached. But every person has got an inner two-year-old. What do two-year-olds do? Well, for starters, when something don't go well with them, they roll around on the floor like a two-year-old does, and then they'll say, no, 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 mama, I'm not peeing in the potty. Carson Paul went through this stage. Oh, my gosh. I thought, you know what? If beating a kid would help, we'd have done been helped. Nothing worked with this kid. He would get on his bed, and he would pee on the floor and the carpet. And I was thinking, this little brat, I'm going to have to replace that carpet after he gets out of this stage. Every adult has an inner two-year-old. My two-year-old is the worst, I will say. We get up in here, and when we get to looking at these lives that we, things happen that we didn't plan, we didn't think about, that inner two-year-old wants to come out. And what do we want to do? We want to get mad about it. We want to gripe about it. It's like that video I shared last week. God, okay, I'm going to love people, but I want you to know I'm going to complain about it every moment. That inner two-year-old gets up in there, and grown-up Christians are the world's worst at throwing temper tantrums. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
I mean, you get a good saved 30-year salvation person, they're going to throw the worst fits. That was the one thing that this nobody could prepare me for that part of this job. I'm going, good God, Sister Buckethead, you've been saved for 30 years. What do you mean? Are you kidding me? So we get mad about it, we roll around on the ground, say no, we complain about it. Then here's a real classic, one I just love. I'm quitting. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Look here, the first time you quit something God told you to do, you're going to be so flipping miserable. Give it a try. Give it a try. You got to tame the inner two-year-old. When you get up to that part of your life, when it gets to a point where you say, God, I'm hurting right now. See, when you have those emotions, what you're really going through is you're hurting. You're hurting. There's something that's gotten you and it's hurt you and you're having trouble letting it down. And there ain't no tantrum going to help you with that. There's not. Because let me tell you something. If a good tantrum could help with that, I'd have done been helped in many ways. Because I can throw a better fit than anybody I've ever met. Ask Jeremy. What do you do when you get in those parts of your life? We're going to talk about it. Because we all get there. And one of the things that I want to reiterate with you, I want to put in your heart right now, is that God is never surprised about the battle you face. God is never surprised about that aspect of your life that has you so upset. Nothing that you're going through has caught God by surprise. What does that mean? The Word of God says that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so if you have an author, and the Word says, He's not surprised at anything that we go through. God knows it all. He's already factored in that part of your story. He already has. He already allotted for it. He already marked it down. He already said, okay, this is going to take place. But down here, a couple chapters, I'm going to do a miracle right here. Down a couple more, I'm going to do another miracle. I'm going to keep working in this person's life because they're going to trust me. And when they get to those hard places in their life where they're going through something that is hurting them so bad because they didn't plan for it, it came by surprise, I'm going to do a mighty, mighty thing in that person's life. But we got to know what to do. The first thing that you need to know about when you get in a place like that in your life, it did not take God by surprise. God knew. He knew. Before you were ever born, you would go through that thing. He knew, and he made a way. He knew, and he made a way. The devil is so good at lying to believers. And believers are so gullible. When you get really down, you just are gullible. You're in a broken point. I want to minister to that person today because look here, life is so good. And God is so faithful that you got to hold on to him even when you get to those places where you say, this is not what I expected. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And I say this week after week, if a pastor cannot give you chapter and verse, they're not a good pastor. I don't feel like I have to sugarcoat the word of God. You know why, Jack? Because I didn't write it. That's why. I don't got to reword it. It's already been written. All I got to do is just deliver it. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. We're going to talk about those times in our lives where we get up right in the middle of it and we say, God, life isn't going like I thought it was going to. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Y'all repeat after me, always.
Always.
Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always, always, always. Rejoice in him always, because look here, anybody can do it in the good times. Anybody can do something when they're feeling it. God wants to see how you're going to act when you ain't feeling it. Because look here, that's how you are. That's how you are. So rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again. See, the word repeats itself. Why does God feel the need to repeat things to us? Well, that's because when we get up in something, we become little squirrels. And we want to be like, I forgot that part of God's word where he told me not to be troubled. No, he's saying rejoice, and not only rejoice, but rejoice always. Rejoice always. When you're going through heck on earth, rejoice. When the worst thing has happened to you, rejoice. Why? Because we know that God is exactly who he says it is. So what is he doing when we're going through it? He's turning it around. He's turning it around. Now look here. The turning around, that ain't going to happen on your timetable, unfortunately. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And because of that, because God is who he says he is, that's reason enough to rejoice. When you're going through it and you say, this is the worst thing ever. God, I did not plan for this. God, I did not ask for this. God, I'm mad. See, Christians have trouble just keeping it real. And you know what? The truth is, you get to places in your life where in a moment you say, God, I'm mad at you. I know that ain't something normal, a pastor would say, but people get into places where they just can't even be honest with other people, and then they can't be honest with themselves because they've been lying and faking. If you're going through a period where you're mad at God, I'm going to tell you to get over it and let God, give God the benefit of the doubt, because, see, God didn't do anything in that situation. He's the one going to work it out. And if you're having a moment where you're mad at God, don't let yourself feel like you're the worst person, but you know what? Get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. And so it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. There's something about a good problem that the first thing that leaves is your gentleness. I love those things on Facebook, and it describes wives. I always think of Jeremy. It says, my wife is delicate like a balm. Look here. I am not the most gentle person. I mean, I'm about the high-strungest woman there is. I've always been geared up that way. That's that Italian blood. It's that mafia side to us that people have been talking about for 30 years. They're like, is your dad in the mafia? Look, I don't even know. He does some things I've been wondering too. That's what I've dealt with my whole life. But it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Let me tell you something. When you get up in the thick of it, and you're just in the absolute thick of it, One of the first things that the devil wants to take from you is your gentleness, is that soft side of you, that nurturing, compassionate side that you can feel. Look here. Get that back. Get your gentleness back. Get that sweet side of you back. Because look here. God's working this thing out. Get your gentleness back. It says, let your gentleness be evidence. Let it be there. Let it shine. Let it be there for everybody to see. Look here. You have your biggest audiences when everything's going wrong. So you might as well just give them a show. You got your biggest critics. You got your biggest cluster of critics when everything done hit that fan and it's going wrong. And they gathered around. They wanting to see how you're going to handle it. Look here. Let them see how God's glory works. Let them see how it works. I may be down, but I'm not defeated. What does the word say? I was crushed. I had it coming in from every side. I was crushed, but I was not destroyed. I was really hard pressed, but I was not defeated. See, we get to these places in our lives, and when we get there, what you need is you need that moment with God where you say, you know what, God, I'm just going to let you work this out. I'm going to let you work it out. God, it wasn't what I planned, but Daddy God, I know that you are the one that has planned every part of this. You are the author, and by golly, you are definitely the finisher, so I'm going to let you finish this. God, I'm not going to get troubled. God, I know that this did not come as a surprise to you. So, God, I'm going to get over my surprise, and I'm just going to let you be. I'm going to let you move. I'm going to let you handle it, and I'm going to take a step back. So it says here, let your gentleness be evident to all. And one of the things that I want to really get to you is when you get to those places in your life where you're going through something that you didn't plan, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. So many times when we get to those hard places, we feel like God is so far away. He's not. He's really near. He's near to you. He's near to you. I remember when my mother had her surgery to remove the cancer that decided it wanted to camp out inside of her body. And we were up in Little Rock all stinking day. And then the next day, and then the next day. And I've always been a social butterfly, and I can usually take people being close to me. I don't really have a lot of personal space issues, but I actually met my match up there at Little Rock. And there was this little precious lady. She was probably about 40 years old, and her name was Molly. And Molly, I could tell that she was challenged in her mind, and she was there with her parents, and they were there with a family member. And Molly was like right up on me. Like, she was like this close to me, and she goes, I'm Molly, and I'm going to sit by you today. And I said, all right, Molly. Now, look, she tried that with my sister, Casey, and my sister, Casey, is a little bit of a prude. She ain't going for that. Uh-uh. She don't even like me hugging her. So Molly tried that with Casey, and Casey just looks at her, and Molly just, she could sense that. Molly just got up, and she came over there by me. And Molly goes, this is exactly what she did. She sat down just nearly on top of me, and she goes, and her face, her nose was like on my cheek. And she goes, every 5 seconds, have y'all ever watched Little Nemo? The Dory? That was her to a T. Every 5 minutes, she goes, how's mama? 5 more minutes. How's mama? How's mama? How's mama? And I thought, God, this is getting on my last nerve. God, Lord Jesus, my mother done had cancer. I've had some other miserable, awful things happen the day before. God, I cannot take Molly right now in this moment. And for the next 10 hours, every 5 minutes, how's mama? And Molly just talked to me and talked to me and talked to me. And then she'd go right back 5 minutes. How's mama? How's mama? And she would get after this. And finally, I heard her in my sleep. We got mama out of that surgery. And let me tell you, I got to have my rest. I don't care what's going on. I got to have that rest. And I snored so loud that night. Even my mother, who had been sedated and had surgery, she was like, Kelly, the doctors up in there, they got these student doctors, and they're trying to teach them how to take care of folks, which just horrifies me. So they were all up in there, about 10 of them, and I was snoring so loud. I could hear myself, and I knew I was snoring, and I was sleeping all at the same time. And Mom was laughing because I was snoring so loud. And when I got up the next morning, I was praying and I was thinking, God, please, Lord Jesus, don't let me run into Molly. I literally can't take any more. My nerves are shot. And God said, Kelly, I sent Molly. I sent Molly because I wanted you to know every 5 minutes that I was really near. And if God has to remind you in the middle of all that junk, if he has to remind you every 5 minutes, I'm close to you, I'm near to you. Why does God do that? Because the devil's there every 2 minutes telling you nothing's going to work out. That's why. That's why God does what he does. And I said, God, forgive me and let me... Let me get Molly again. Where is she? I want to tell you that God is really super near to you. He's there. He's there. When you can't feel him, get on your knees till you get up and you can feel him. I get it. We get in these places in our lives where we feel like we can't feel nothing because it's done rubbed us raw. Feel God. Feel that he's near. He's right there. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then the amazing thing is something happens when we do that. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it gives us some very important instructions in verse 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So all that other stuff that you're thinking about that does not line up with this part of the word, you shouldn't be thinking about it. If it ain't lovely, stop thinking about it. If it ain't true, stop thinking about it. If it ain't trustworthy, stop thinking about it. If it ain't right, quit thinking about it. If it's not admirable, stop thinking about it. The word says, as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about yourself? What are you thinking about your battle? If you're thinking this is going to be it, this is the thing that does me under, well, guess what? Get ready to go under. If you're thinking, God, I know you're coming through because you're God and you haven't changed who you are, guess what? You're on your way. Why does the Bible tell us what to think about? Because God knows that our mind is in the gutter most of the time. We have trouble in our thought life. And that's why God tells us what to think. That's why he reminds us what to think. Let's go to Psalms chapter 19. And we're going to look at verse 14. I don't know how everybody else is, but I know that when I get in the middle of something, I need to be reminded about what to think about because I'm a thinker. Who in here is a thinker? I tell Jeremy sometimes, honey, I was thinking, and he goes, oh, my God. Why? Why are you doing that? I'm scared. I said, well, you should be. I had an epiphany. That's when he really gets scared, when I tell him I have an epiphany. If your wife ever tells you that, get ready. There's going to be a real big bang right after the word epiphany. And so many times when I get up in the middle of something, I like to analyze it. I like to dissect it. I like to overthink about it. I like to remember every little detail about that thing. And then I like to add a couple details that weren't really up in there. And then I like to remember the faces and their expressions of these people that I was whatever with. See, and then we just keep on going. That's why the Bible says, hold on. Let me tell you just exactly what you need to be thinking. Because God knows how many overthinking kids he has. He knows how many overanalyzing kids that he has. He knows it. And so in Psalms chapter 19, in verse 14, we see right here, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. I was driving yesterday, and God began to convict my heart about this very verse. How many of you love a good case of conviction? It's terrible because it brings out something in you that you know is going to make you make a change. That heart's convicted about it. You're like, ugh. If it's convicted, you know God ain't happy about it. How many of you like to make God happy?
Amen.
I do. God was saying, now, Kelly, I want your words to start lining up more with what I say. Yeah. Kelly, the meditation of that heart, I want it to line up more with the Word of God. Yeah. Well, it's a real difficult thing to get your heart and your mouth to go in the same direction. I said, God help me. I'm going to read it again. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, let them be pleasing in your sight. There are so many people that we are concerned about how they see us. When what God really wants is, he says, look here, if it's pleasing in my sight, don't worry about nobody else. So many times, in that battle, in that thing that we're in, we've made sure everybody else is happy and they're pleased with us. And the one person that ain't is God. If God's happy with you, that's what you're going for. You got to get your words and your heart to being pleasing to God. What are you thinking about? What are you speaking about? What are you meditating on? Once again, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. There's many times over the past few years where I've thought, oh, my word. This has gone on, and I did not allot for this. What do we do in that moment? We keep going. We realize God allotted for it. How many of y'all saw that big old storm that came a couple nights ago? When was that, Friday night? A lot of people think that, pastors have this divine thing about how we handle storms. I had everybody in the church calling, are you okay? Yeah. Look here. Thank God for the storm. Yeah, I'm good. Do you want to come over? Nope. Uh-uh. Look here, I'm going to wait this storm out. They're like, get in the middle room and all this stuff. I'm like, babe, I'm going to bed. I ain't getting up in the pantry. I ain't getting up in the bathroom. Look here, if that 2020 pandemic didn't kill me, this storm ain't going to. I'm going to B-E-D.
Amen.
And that's what I did, David. But I just got my house sided. And I had to pick 4 shades before they got one because of the pandemic. They're like, well, Miss Kitson, that's not available. Okay, I'll take this one. 2 weeks later, well, Miss Kitson, that's not available either. Finally, like the 20th time, I was like, let's just narrow this down. I want you to quit calling me and telling me no, because I don't deal well with no. Tell me what you do have in the grays. Finally, after the millionth one, they finally had something available. So I started hearing banging on this new siding, and I was thinking, oh, my God. Ugh. And Jeremy's downstairs, and I get my pajama pants back on, and I'm trotting downstairs, 14 stairs, nearly broke my neck trying to get down there. And I said, that sounds like hail on our new siding. And he goes, well, it's not. And I said, I don't care what you say. I'm going to go look. And I opened up that door, and just a big old wind and water got all up on me. And I was going, I shut that door. I said, I think that you're right. It's just a little hard rain. And now I'm drenched. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let them be pleasing. There are times where that battle looks like it is a hail storm. And you want to go check it out. How are we checking it out? We're going to overthink that battle. We're going to analyze it. We're going to just sit there and run every scenario up in our brain. We're going to go open the door and all this stuff constantly, constantly, constantly. What if it was hailing? What was I going to do? You know, Deborah says speak to it. That would have been good. Call the insurance. Good luck with that, Sam. We know how that goes. Didn't have that experience with the back of the church when it decided it was going to leak under the foundation. So my point is this right here. It's not a matter of if you'll be in a situation at some point in your life that you feel awful about and you didn't plan for it. You're going to be there if you haven't already. You need to get your heart and your mind and your mouth. You need to get them all going the same direction. And that direction has got to be God's direction. It's got to be. Or you're going to get off. You're going to get off. When I was a kid, this is the only girl that can actually say this in my family, so I'm going to smear it in and rub it in, because that's what babies of the families do. When I was a kid, Tierney, I bought every vehicle I've ever owned. Paid cash for many of those vehicles. I worked at Dairy Delight, and I worked doubles. When I was 14 years old, and I bought my first vehicle, and it was $1,475, and I was so young, I didn't even know how to write the check. And I said, Daddy, you're going to have to write this check. I don't know how to even write a number that big. And he had to move my tithe check over to write the check for that car. Right. Look here, get your fundamentals in order. Yes. Thank you, God. So I really moved up in the world. And I had bought this clunker, and it was a clunker. And I went through 4 clutches. I don't know how many drive shafts. I went through them. I tell you, I was rough on them clutches. Yes. Brother Charlie had to help me with the clutch situation at least 3 of those 4 times. Finally, they just got me a racing clutch, and I couldn't even hold that thing down. It was just like, oh, my gosh, all 130 pounds of me at that moment was all on that, whatever you call that thing that you got to press down when you're switching them gears. What is it? There you go. I don't even remember anymore. You know why? Because I have let that part go, because I know that driving them type of vehicles are not God's will for my life. God wants me in an automatic. That is one thing that I am so certain of. But when I was a kid, I got this green Cavalier, two-door green Cavalier, and I thought, this is the best thing ever, because I had drove that other thing that was awful. Got it? And I'll be darned, the biggest hailstorm I've ever seen in my entire life out on those 10 acres of country where Mom and Dad lived. And it came down on that car, and I just began to get all the quilts in the house, and I began to wrap them around that car. I'm like, I don't care if this is Mama's wedding quilt. This is going on the car. I got my Lion King blanket from my childhood. That also was going on the car. Every blanket we owned was on the car. Guess what? It didn't help. So then, Tyranny, I did the only thing that girls know how to do to try to make it better. That car was so dented by that hail, Mikey, that in my young teenage brain, the thing that was going to make it all better was the same shade of green nail polish. So I got that nail polish out, and I doctored all of those spots. I was like, this is making this better. And Brother Larry, it took me like 3 hours to doctor that car. And I stepped back, and when I looked at it, I had a meltdown. Dad goes, we're going to take this to Brian. He's the only one that can deal with this. Look here, till this day, that is still my brother-in-law. Amen. You know why? He popped every one of those dents out for me by hand. By hand. Look here. You're going to get up in some hailstorms, all right? You're going to. That's not me being negative, Nancy. That's me being reality. They don't call me Pastor Real Deal for nothing. You better be handling those bumps with the Word of God, because if you're handling it with fingernail polish or your own common sense, you're in trouble. Big trouble. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, let them be pleasing. God, let them be pleasing. God, when they're not pleasing, Lord, deal with me. God, convict this heart. Deal with me. Last place for me this morning, Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to look at verse 8 through 13. So the Word of God tells us how to think. It tells us what to think. It tells us what to think on. And it says right here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And I want to tell you right now, when you're looking at that life and you're saying, God, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. These things have happened, and now I don't know where to go from here. I want you to understand, and I want you to get it very clearly. God wrote that part. The part where you're saying, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work out. He wrote that part too. And when he wrote it with this in mind. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Because when I think of you, you couldn't possibly know how much that I think of you. God thinks a lot of you. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. See, we have a lot of ways that we deal with things that we go through. Some of them are good and some of them are bad. But the way that God deals with us, the way that God deals with our problems, the thoughts that he has towards us, they're so much higher than the way that we think. We need to retire from thinking and overthinking, because the way that God thinks about us, you can't even match it up. Totally different. So he says here, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. Now, we just talked about our words, and we said, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, let them be pleasing. Now we're looking at God's words, and he says, all of this stuff, he says, it goes out of my mouth, and it does not return to me empty. See, why do you need to change what you say and think in the way that your heart is? Because you need to get it closer to what God's really saying and thinking about you. Because when God says something about your life, he speaks it out of his mouth. Why does he speak it out of his mouth? Because he spoke us into existence. He spoke this world into existence. Everything about everything down here, he spoke it out and it existed. So at his voice, everything about our problem has to yield to the unquenchable presence of who he is. So it says, my word, it goes out. And when it goes out, Dale, it doesn't come back empty. So what we have to do when we get in these moments where we're saying, I didn't plan for this. This happened. I didn't plan for that. What do we got to do? You got to get alone with God and get yourself where you can hear what he's saying. Because he's speaking, you need to be able to hear him. I'll never forget when John and Melissa's house lit up on fire that Wednesday night. I've never heard a little girl cry like that. And I hope I never hear it again. And I went home that night, and I just cried and cried and cried. And I said, God, only you can make that up. I was sitting there thinking, what can I do? Well, you know, I want to fix everything. And I said, God, only you. Only you can fix that. I don't even know where to start. Did he not do so much more? Did he not do so much more? One thing that I can say about John and Melissa is Melissa will get herself to where she can think positive about just about anything. There were times I think I cried more than she did about it, and it was her house. It was her memories. It was her all of that. But God did so much more. But you got to find that place in that battle where you get right up next to the heart of God and you can hear him very clearly say, I'm about to do a thing. And when I do it, it's going to be more than what you ever thought could ever happen for you. So yes, if you found yourself in a place today where you've gotten things going on and you didn't think you'd ever be in a predicament like that or a situation like that or a problem like that, look here. It's going to be okay. What I've learned in the last 3 years, Kayla, is most of the time what people need is they need you to look them in the face and say, it's going to be okay. God will work it out. Many times our battle is connected to other people, how they've hurt us or let us down. Look here. Nobody will love you like God does. If you're holding somebody in unforgiveness, you need to let it go. It's messing your victory up. It's messing your victory up. I'm going to say it again. It's messing your victory up. You got to let that go. And you got to let God work and move. You got to let it go. God will always do what he says. He's never late. So my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire. When you're praying about that thing in your life that's happened you did not plan on, say, God, change my desires to where I desire only what you would have for this situation. Because God, your word, it goes out and it accomplishes what you desire. So God, get my desires to line up with what you want to happen in this situation. And it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy, and you will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands, and instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you're sitting there today, if you're listening by Facebook and you've said, you know what, Pastor, you've spoken to me today because I'm going through something that I did not ever plan on, and it's devastating. I want to tell you right now, God is right there in that moment. He hasn't left. He's not going to leave. But what I'm going to pray for right now is the peace to get you through it. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place, God, I pray down your peace, God, that passes all understanding. God, where there needs to be miracles occur, Lord, for your kids in here, God, I ask you to create those miracles, Lord, allow situations, create them. God, I thank you right now. You know exactly what it takes to get us on to the other side. So, Father God in heaven, I ask that you do what it takes, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you right now. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.